Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from James, the first chapter and the 12th verse. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The Storytelling Time program this week is the second story taken from chapter 5 in the book Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the chapter is Fred's Troubles. And the title of the program today is Fred and Courtney. Before we start with our story for today, I want to give you a list of books that details the how-tos of professional writing. Yes, they all explain how you can successfully become an author. And they all can be purchased from Amazon.com. Depending on your writing objectives, one of these volumes might be worth your while to obtain. So here's the list. Number 1, On Writing Well, The Classic Guide to Writing Nonfiction, by William Zinsser. Number 2, The Creative Writing Course Book. 40 authors share advice and exercises for fiction and poetry. Number 3, How to Write, Advice and Reflections, by Richard Rodas. Number 4, On Writing, by George V. Higgins. And number 5, The Everything Guide to Writing Your First Novel, All the Tools You Need to Write and Sell Your First Novel, by Haley Efron. We'll be back with our story after a break. Welcome back. The guilt that Maggie felt for betraying her husband's trust was difficult to bear. While Fred had no knowledge of his wife's emotional ties to her former co-worker, Freddie, Maggie, of course, knew of her discretion. Yes, we all know when we've done wrong, deep down inside our being, whether we admit it or not. Maggie tried to hide her feelings of past affections for her old workmate, but occasionally her devious experience would show up in her relationship with Fred. On one occasion, the Mints were playing bridge with Courtney and Gates when suddenly Maggie got up from the card table and rushed to the bedroom for no apparent reason. Maggie admitted to Fred later that she left because she was feeling critical of him regarding how he was playing the card game. Of course, Fred didn't think her actions were warranted, especially in the presence of their friends, Courtney and Gates. Being concerned about her emotional state, Fred asked, "What's wrong, Meg? Where are you going?" But she left so quickly that she didn't even hear the question her husband had asked her. Needless to say, she didn't answer him. Meanwhile, Courtney and Gates looked on in bewilderment. Fred wasn't the only one having issues with their spouse. He and Courtney were alone on one of the Mints and Manley's outings at a local restaurant on one occasion. Gates had gone to another part of the establishment to talk with someone he knew, and Maggie had gone to the ladies' room. At that time, Courtney decided to confide in Fred about her own issues in matrimony. With just the two of them together, Courtney took the opportunity to talk with Fred about her marriage to Gates. She said to him, "Fred, I have to tell you, Gates and I have a good marriage, but he seems so unlike the man I married." Fred replied, "I don't understand exactly what you mean, Courtney. Wasn't Gates the man you really wanted? Courtney responded, Yeah, that's true, Fred, but I do think that we could be a lot closer. It seems like he's gone so much into his involvement with the church at the expense of our happiness. Those were strange sentiments from Courtney, Fred thought, given her own conversion when she attended Queen's Church with Fred back in Hawaii. Despite her complaints, there was little Fred could do with Courtney's dissatisfaction. He could only sympathize with her because of his own concerns about Maggie. Given his wife's increasing aloofness, Fred's thoughts were contrary to what he had always believed, that a physical desire for Courtney was off limits for him. One weekend, when Maggie had gone to Flint, Fred was left alone to attend church himself. This time, Fred saw that Courtney was alone too, as she came through the front entrance. Fred met her and said, Hello, Courtney. How are you today? And where is Gates? I'm fine, Fred. And Gates is away on a business trip. He went down to St. Louis yesterday, Courtney answered. Then she asked her own question after greeting Fred. And how are you doing, Fred? And where is Maggie? Fred replied, I'm okay, Courtney. And as far as Mag, she went to Flint this weekend to visit her parents. As you know, she travels there occasionally and sometimes is quite often. She considers herself a road warrior, you know. The Mints and Manleys ordinarily sat in different areas of the sanctuary during a typical Sunday morning service. But on this occasion, Fred saw it as an opportunity for he and Courtney to sit together. As the service was about to begin, Fred said to her, Hey, Courtney, I know the four of us usually sit on the opposite sides of the church, but why don't we sit together today, since our better halves aren't here? Courtney hesitated as if to question what Fred was asking her. Then she gave in and said, Well, okay, but you do know how people talk, especially when they see us together like this without our mates, she stressed. Then Fred assured her, Don't worry about that, Courtney. You know, people will always find something to talk about. Yeah, I guess you're right, Courtney admitted. Then she said in anticipation, Hey, Fred, it'll be like old times, right? Back when you took me to Queen's Church in Hawaii. Boy, was that a life-changing experience. Yeah, I do remember that, Courtney. How can I forget? Fred answered. Then they proceeded into the sanctuary and sat together, as Fred had suggested. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It was another nourishing service for both Fred and Courtney, this time when they were not sitting with their spouses. They were sitting together, with Maggie and Gates nowhere around. Soon the pastor would deliver the message, and as usual, it was good. Unfortunately, in the area where Fred and Courtney sat, chatter could be heard coming from two ladies who were not paying full attention to what was being said in the sermon. It took away some of the focus that both Courtney and Fred had on the message that was being delivered. Even after the sermon, the chatter continued and could be heard by both Courtney and Fred. Yes, they were even distracted from enjoying fully the good song and praise music in the session that was going on at the time. Courtney overheard one lady sitting in the pew behind them saying to the person sitting behind her some distracting chatter.
Psst. Look, I've seen those two here before. I don't think they're married. At least, not to each other.
The two women continued to chatter, and the other lady said,
My. I've always thought something contrary was going on with those couples. Oh, my Lord. What is this world coming to?
Then the other lady replied,
I know, child. And you know what else?
That response by the other lady was difficult for Fred and Courtney to hear completely because the volume in song and praise had increased and the atmosphere of the service had become so festive. Nonetheless, they knew the gossip between them would continue, but the spirit-filled response of the congregation diminished any toxic conversation going on. Fred and Courtney were finally able to enjoy the praise and worship session without being distracted by the gossip that was occurring behind them. When the service had finished, Fred and Courtney would exit the sanctuary. Before they did, Fred suggested that they go to a local coffee shop to chat a little. He said to Courtney, I know a place that's close by the church where we could go and just sit and talk about old times. Okay, that sounds to be good, Courtney replied. Courtney and Fred soon came out of the sanctuary. And when they did, they saw that the weather had turned for the worse. They ended up driving their separate vehicles to Ed's coffee shop, which was about a mile further down the road from the church. So they got into their cars and took off to the coffee shop. The short drive was anything but pleasant because the wind picked up with the weather threatening. The rain that had been forecast for the region had only just begun as Courtney and Fred drove to their secret meeting place, Ed's coffee shop. As Courtney drove to the shop, she became more conscious of how people would perceive them being together without their spouses. But she tried to accept what Fred had told her earlier, which was that some people make their lives out of gossip, and there's very little that can be done about it. Soon, both Fred and Courtney had arrived at Ed's coffee shop. They both got out of their cars and met the inclement weather that was not getting any better. They met each other and began to walk toward the shop. The wind was howling, and though it had only begun to drizzle, their short walk seemed like it was a mile. Hey, Courtney, the weather is getting worse out here. We don't have far to walk, but this weather is making it seem like it's much further. But we'll be inside soon, Fred said, trying to comfort her. Then Courtney replied, Yeah, Fred, I can't wait to get inside. After a few more steps, they came to the front entrance of the establishment. Soon, Fred and Courtney entered the lobby of the shop, and finally, the inclement weather was behind them. They came into the seating area and were met with the relaxing sound of smooth jazz that provided background to their continued thoughts and discussions. As they were directed to an available table, they sat down, reviewed the menu, and shortly after placed their order with the attendant. Fred had a great deal of influence on Courtney, and she knew it. Courtney tried to accommodate Fred as much as possible as a friend. Besides, they were the best of friends, in her estimation. She always thought that he was most helpful in leading her out of the doldrums she found herself in when she became married to Gates. while Courtney was attracted to Fred when they first met in Hawaii. A desire to be with him romantically all changed when he invited her to go to Queen's Church with him. That's when Courtney was converted from a life of being on the streets to one where she became a believer. The experience totally changed her life. Fast forward to the present time. Fred wanted to see Courtney again after they had visited the coffee shop together. Now, Fred was desperate to remedy some of the stress that he felt he was under because of Maggie's absence. He realized that both Gates and Maggie would be away the following weekend, so Fred saw it as a real opportunity to continue to release his stress at that time with Courtney. Courtney had already told Fred that Gates would be away from home again on a business conference at that time, and Fred knew that Maggie would travel to Flint again the weekend coming up because it would be her mother Missy's birthday. Great, Fred thought as emotions raced through his mind and deceptiveness invaded his being. Then, Fred was ready to propose another meeting with Courtney the following weekend while they both were sipping on their cups of coffee. Fred said to Courtney, I've been thinking. But she interjected before he could finish his statement by asking, thinking about what, Fred? Before Fred could answer and express his thoughts about being with her the following weekend, his cell phone rang. Yes, Fred's cell phone rang while in the middle of telling Courtney what he was thinking about, having an indiscretion with her. He went about to retrieve his phone from his pocket to see who it was calling him, all the while muttering to himself, that darn phone, it rings at some of the weirdest times. Then he proceeded to answer it and saw, to his surprise, it was Maggie. After some quick thinking as to what he should do, he then said to Courtney, let me go over here and speak with Maggie. With a puzzling expression on her face, Courtney said simply, okay. Fred then moved to an area of the shop where Courtney could not hear his conversation with Maggie. Before Fred had excused himself from Courtney so he could talk with his wife, he reminded her, Courtney, I'll finish the thought I had when I get back in just a minute. Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll see what that conversation was all about. Stay with us. Welcome back. As Fred had retrieved his phone and realizing that it was his wife, he said to her, hello, Mag. It's good to hear from you, but I'm kind of surprised at the same time. Where are you? Then Maggie answered him with some urgency. Fred, I'm on my way to my parents' house, and I got a flat tire. I stayed in Detroit longer than I thought because of shopping. And Fred, it's a stretch of road where there's absolutely nothing around when I had that blowout. I stepped outside and the rear tire is as flat as a pancake. I must have run over a nail or something. So I need for you to come and fix it. Okay, Mac. Tell me. Where are you exactly? Fred repeated what he had asked Maggie before, trying to determine her whereabouts. Then she answered, I'm a few minutes from Detroit in the Nezdeck Forest. I made the exit off the interstate, and I do remember the number of the exit was 12. Yeah, exit 12. But I'm telling you, Fred, it's really eerie out here. I know if you come now, it would take about 4 hours with you still being in Chicago. But I'm in the car with the engine on, and I'm warm and comfortable. I can listen to the radio and maybe even take a nap until you get here. Can you leave right now? She asked. Yeah, Meg. I'm coming right now. I'm glad you gave me your detailed location. I should be there, I'd say, in less than 3 hours, the way I'll be able to drive, because I don't expect a lot of traffic this late in the day. So I'll be able to speed right along. And another thing, I have overnight wear in the car that I always keep packed so I can have a change whenever I'm away on business. So I'm prepared to stay overnight at your parents' house when we get there. I'll change the tire and we can be on our way. Just stay comfortable as you can until I arrive. Well, let me get going, Fred said. Then Maggie replied, Okay, I'll be waiting. Just be careful driving here and don't drive too fast, she said to him. With that bit of advice from his wife, Fred ended the conversation and returned to where Courtney was. He then said to her, Meg needs me to come to where she is and help her with something, Courtney. He didn't give her any more detailed information. From the puzzled facial expression Courtney had before, when Fred wanted to step away and not have her listen in on his conversation with Maggie, she didn't understand the secrecy of him not wanting to talk to Maggie in front of her. After all, they were friends, close friends. Courtney thought. Those thoughts prompted Courtney to ask, Well, is she all right, Fred? He gave only a simple answer. Oh, she's fine, Courtney. After not getting the details from Fred that she sought, Courtney then asked, Well, I'm going to let you go, but before you leave, what were you going to tell me, Fred? She asked. In response to that question by Courtney, Fred gave her even less information than he had before. In response to her question, he said simply, I'll have to tell you later, Courtney, but now I gotta run. Now, you have a nice drive back home. Well, okay, Fred, Courtney replied. Then they both went their separate ways. Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll finish the show. Welcome back. Well, we'll take up with our story the next time. Until then, in closing, I'd like to say that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.